Hey everyone, welcome to The Age of Sex with me, Dr. Beth B. I am a sex and intimacy coach and a psychologist, and I've spent the last 30 plus years helping to create and maintain meaningful relationships that contain sizzling sex without the shame. We are working on the alphabet one letter at a time. Today's letter is D, and D is for divine sexuality. And unfortunately, at the last minute, my guest was unable to make it. So my husband is filling in. So please welcome Terrence Scott, and we are going to speak to divine sexuality as best the two of us can. Thanks for filling in on last minute.
Hey, I'm here for you.
Literally. So what we wanted to talk about was the idea of divine and sacred sexuality. And in my world, this goes beyond just the idea that all sexual acts are sacred because every human is sacred. And that's certainly one of the things that we intended to talk about today. But goes further to look at some of the ways in which spiritual and religious traditions talk about sexuality as being a divine expression, depending on which tradition you're talking about. So before we start and dive deep, what's your view on this? Where do you come from on this perspective?
Oh, goodness. My view is that sexuality is not divorced from the divine. It is all part and parcel. There are, at least to me, there are times that you actually can feel the connection with the divine. And usually it's at those moments when you are in a deep something, whether it's out in nature and there's just you and nature and you can feel it, or it's the co-mingling of two people who are set on the same goal of bringing joy to each other, which to me is you communicating to the divine that you get it, that you understand.
Okay. So, I mean, a lot of the times people talk about this in terms of sex being sacred because it is the start of life. And while I agree with that as a starting place, I tend to go from the perspective of our essences combining.
Yes.
So that whether or not you're actually birthing a life, the two of you combining are creating something. It doesn't matter whether you're actually creating a physical life, but you're actually creating something by coming together and coming together in that way in which you're honoring each other. You're also honoring the divine out of you and in you.
Yes.
And so I know that sometimes people find it difficult to think about sex in this way when it comes outside of marriage. What do you think about those sorts of limitations?
Okay. Now, you got to understand, as far as I'm concerned, marriage is a man-made construct. Okay? Animals don't get married. While some of them do take mates for life, they don't have a ceremony and they don't do any of that. You know, they decide to be together and that's how it works. But the idea that sex has to be cloaked in this ritual of a solemn vow that there will never be anyone else and it will only be with one person doesn't really work, because just observing life has shown us that that doesn't always work. You might start out with one person, and through life experiences, you diverge. What are you supposed to do then?
So you're not looking at this as something that has to be contained in marriage.
No.
But looking at it as something that's contained within a relationship. And then it gets even more interesting for me.
Yes.
Because whether it's, is it contained within a relationship between two people? Can it be something that happens outside of a relationship?
It can. But it also depends on, what do you mean by a relationship? If you're talking about just one of each, yes, that's a relationship. But two of one and one of another is also a relationship. If that's what they decide on. Two of one kind and two of another is still a relationship if they decide on that.
So you're defining relationship as a coming together.
Yes.
And an agreement.
An agreement of coming together. Not just coming together, but an understanding that you are coming together, that this is something that you both want.
So the very basis of this, then, what we're saying is conscious.
Yes.
That, number one, in order to have sacred sex, you have to be conscious. You have to be able to think and make a choice. You have to be able to consider all options.
From my perspective, for it to be a sacred act, all parties involved have to consciously be involved. Because you have to be willing to give of yourself. If they're just taking, that's not sacred, that's rape.
What about in a negotiated scene where taking is the idea?
But that's still a negotiated scene.
Okay, so the negotiation and the consciousness has to happen.
There is still the conscious, I am agreeing to.
Okay.
You are still putting yourself out as part of it. You are not removed from it. This is not something that is being done to you against your will. You are willing to have this done. You are giving of yourself to this.
Okay. So one of the places where this is discussed most often is when people talk about Tantra. And we're a few minutes from break. So after the break, we'll talk a bit about the idea of Tantra and where sacred sexuality fits in there. But I wanted to highlight first that there are other forms of sexuality that are considered sacred, and that certainly the idea of sex being part of an offering and sex being part of a spiritual experience, a ritual, goes back to many religions and many spiritual traditions and goes way back. And when we get back, we'll talk a bit about the different kinds of traditions and the ways in which sexuality has been used to honor the divine and the importance of honoring the divine. So we will be back in a couple of minutes after some words from our sponsors, and we look forward to seeing you then. Don't forget, you have the opportunity to call in if you have questions or write in any questions, and we will be happy to answer them. They do not have to be on this topic. Anything about sex and relationships is fair game. So if you have a question and you're brave, call it in and we'll hear from you. If you're not feeling terribly brave, you don't want your voice heard on the airwaves, then do write it in and we will answer when the question comes in. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America. Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has a mobile app for iOS, Android, or Amazon Kindle. Visit the Apple App Store, Amazon, or Google Play to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
This is the A to Z of Sex, featuring Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. We know you have questions. We welcome you to call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Feeling a bit shy? It's okay. Dr. Lori Beth loves to read your emails too. Send them to Lori Beth at drloribethbisbee.com. Now, more of the A to Z of Sex.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the A to Z of Sex with me, Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. And this is segment two. And this week it is D is for Divine Sexuality. And helping me out today with a last minute change is my husband, Terrence Scott. So before before the break, we were talking about the various religious and spiritual traditions. And so I wanted to start with some of the ones that you might know better than others. So let's start talking a bit about how sex came into the fertilization of the land.
Well, I have spent most of my adult life as a pagan. And in that religious practice, what we came to understand was the cycle of the seasons in many ways is a very sexual act. You have the starting of it, of the divine child being born and the divine child developing into a teenager, and then eventually the budding and understanding that their body has become fruitful, and then from there the coming together with the other part of the cycle and coming together to make sure that all things would flower and produce fruit, and then they would move on to the point where the fruit is gathered and harvested and gotten ready for the next go around. So it was always clothed in a very sensual, sexual right, the understanding that you are part of the microcosm and macrocosm of sexuality, because you encompass all of that.
Yeah, and then we also talk about historically where the king of the land and the priestess would perform the great rite, and the great rite was done at a time to promote fertility of the land.
Yes.
It was to make sure that the seasons would change and the cycle would continue, to make sure that there would be abundance.
Yes.
And that was never considered a sexual act. That was a spiritual act, though there was sex as part of it. It was a sacred act.
It was not considered an overtly sexual act.
No.
There was sex involved, but the sex was not the main focus of the rite. The main focus of the rite was the making sure that things progressed on, and you were pushing the energy to make sure that that happened. And the rite was part of you pushing that energy. because everyone else, because it was a public right.
Yes.
Everyone was focused on the right and the energy of the right and the fertilization of Mother Earth by the father part of that, so that fertility happened. So it wasn't about the sex. It was about the co-mingling of spirits to make sure that fertility and life continued.
So sex was the vehicle in that yes. situation. And one of the reasons I highlight that is because it is certainly, I think, for individuals who practice sacred sexuality, who look at sexuality as divine, sex is often the vehicle for the raising of energy. And it is something I talk about when I teach very regularly, which is that it is one of the easiest ways humans have to access that spiritual energy and to build it, to raise it higher.
When we are taught that that's okay.
Yes. Yes. And of course, most of us aren't taught that that's okay. Most of us are taught that that's decidedly not okay. But energy is energy is energy. There isn't yes. anything special or more pure about energy in one of its forms.
It is all just energy, yes.
And so usually one of the things that, one of the reasons in spiritual practices where people are encouraged to withhold orgasm, for example, or actually encouraged to withhold ejaculation, which is not withholding orgasm, it's withholding the physical aspect of orgasm. But one of the reasons that people are encouraged to do that is that because it builds energy higher.
Yes.
So it is an effort to make sure that somebody doesn't spend their energy frivolously.
Right.
So the idea is to build it as high as you can and then take that energy and use that energy for a purpose.
Yes.
Hence, sacred sexuality.
Yes, indeed.
No different whether you're practicing a spiritual tradition or not practicing a spiritual tradition.
It can even be said that in some practices, the withholding of also builds energy. It's the fact that while you may not be having sex, the reason that you're not having sex is because you're building energy. But the fact that you know that you are withholding the sex to build the energy means that you are still building sexual energy. You're just not allowing what people would consider the normal release of that energy. You're still building energy.
But I'm not even sure I would, I guess that why I didn't say building sexual energy is I'm trying to take it away from the idea it's out of a separate kind of energy. It's still energy.
It is all just energy.
Right. And so most of our spiritual experiences are energetically based.
Yes.
Hence the idea that you can access the divine through that route. Now, probably one of the most common methods of accessing divine sexuality for people in the West is that people in the West have heard of is Tantra. Although the Tantra that people in the West practiced as a rule has been westernized because it doesn't come from Western culture.
Yeah, Tantra, very much so.
Yeah, so Tantra originally comes from both Hindu and Buddhist cultures. And Tantra isn't just a sexual discipline. And I think it's important to understand that that was one portion of the discipline and that there's an awful lot and an awful lot of depth to the practice of Tantra. But one of the basic things when you're looking at some of the Western versions of this, one of the most basic parts of Tantra is the ability to be present completely present and completely present with your partner.
Well, it doesn't work well if you're not.
Truth, but then the vast majority of people don't know what that means, and many people have sexual experiences, even loving, caring sexual experiences, or what they feel are connected sexual experiences without being present.
One of the things that I found out early on when I used to exercise a lot was that you exercise and you build up this energy because you've exercised, and then you go take a shower. Okay, you built up this energy doing exercise. What are you going to do with it? One of the things that I liked about when I learned about Tantra was, okay, you have built up this energy. Do something with it. Whether it's, you know, you now go sing, or now go write, or now go do pottery. Take that energy and create something.
Well, and that's what I noticed, is that what you're talking about is creating something.
Creating. Yes.
So we're back to the idea of the divine.
Yes. But that's the part that most people tend to forget. That, oh goodness, there was a quote, I'm not even sure who said it. It's like animals and the earth and the divine, they understand each other. Animal and man removed. Why? Why do we remove ourselves from it by thinking that we're different from? They create energy like we create energy. So they are still part of the same system that you are. So why anything that you would do would not have an understanding of it affects the energy of yourself and the energy around you. Everything does. Breathing does. Thinking does. Everything moves energy.
But breathing is often the basis of most of these practices. And one of the first things that I remember being taught in spiritual teaching was how to breathe properly, which I routinely forget. And by the way, folks, it's not as easy as you think.
Not nearly.
No, and it's probably one of the easiest times to forget how to breathe is when you're having sex. Just saying. It's really not that easy. It's well worth learning how to breathe, and it's well worth practicing breath work.
Well, the funny thing is if you sit down a bunch of people and ask them honestly, how many of you hold your breath when you're about to orgasm? They'll stop and they'll think about it, and then you'll slowly start seeing all the hands go up when most of them realize that they do.
And the number of times somebody says to me, breathe, we won't even go there, right? We just won't go there. It's embarrassing. And I'm well trained, right? And I've done this, and I've done sexual magic for years. And for me, that's part of divine sexuality. And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We're a couple of minutes from the break. Don't forget, you can write in with questions. And we will talk about sex magic and the origins of some sex magic. We'll also talk a bit about the ways in which a couple can create their own divine space, because I think that's really worthwhile conversation to be having, is how can you create a divine space between you, or between three or four of you, however many there are. Yeah. And we will also talk about spirituality and the relationship to BDSM, because that's something that comes up a lot when people have questions. So we'll talk about that as well. We'll be back in a couple of minutes after some words from our sponsors.
life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Can grief be good for you? Absolutely. It gets your attention, helping you evaluate your choices and relationships. Your losses define who you are. Tune in each week for Good Grief with host Cheryl Jones. Our show features those who have made incredible transformations by grieving their losses. You'll learn how to find your courage and strength. You'll discover the important things in your life and how to let go of things that are less important. Good Grief airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Abre mi corazón.
There is a difference in health and wellness programs. There can be mainstream programs, and then there is something extra. That something extra is called tips to keep you healthy, happy, and motivated with your host, Kristen Harper. If you want to hear some behind-the-scenes talk radio when it comes to health and wellness, the why as well as the how, be sure to tune in each week. This show will inspire you to be healthy and happy for life, as well as become the best version of yourself. Listen Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you ready to live to 100? Join Dr. Joe Casciani and his program that shows us that age is just a number. You can age with fresh and inspiring perspectives, whether it's staying physically fit or keeping mentally fit. With great stories, plenty of advice about successful aging, and brighter outlooks, you just might join those who are living to 100. The Living to 100 Club is broadcast live every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
We're on the pulse of the world with great shows and hosts. The Voice America Health and Wellness Channel is also on Twitter. We've got ideas to keep you healthy, breaking health news, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Voice AM Health. That's at Voice AM Health.
This is the A to Z of Sex, featuring Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. We know you have questions. We welcome you to call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Feeling a bit shy? It's okay. Dr. Lori Beth loves to read your emails too. Send them to Lori Beth at drloribethbisbee.com. Now, more of the A to Z of Sex.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the A to Z of Sex with me, Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. This is part three of D is for Divine Sexuality, and I'm joined by my husband, Terrence Scott, today, filling in for the previously announced guest. So before the break, we were talking about energy and breathing is the basis for some of this. And on the break, you mentioned that you were thinking about a story about energy. So why don't we start there?
I was in an airport. I was flying to go see my folks. And there happened to be this rather attractive woman who was sitting by herself. This group of young men spied her. And of course, one of them decided he was going to hit on her. And she smiled and she looked at him and said, do you believe in the soul and spirit? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, you do realize that the energy of your spirit extends outside of your body? And he's like, okay. She goes, and so does mine. He goes, okay. And he goes, so if we're in close contact with each other, they would actually commingle. And he's like, okay. And she goes, now, did you know that that commingling of energy usually lasts for about 7 years? And he's like, what does that mean? She goes, that would mean that if this goes badly, you are going to feel me for the next 7 years. Is that what you want? And he sat back and he thought about it and he looked at her, thought about it, and went, no, that's okay.
Hell of a way to get out of a pass.
But it was after that she turned and she looked at me and I looked at her and I nodded and she nodded because I knew what she was saying. She was not lying to him. She was telling him the truth. people do not understand that even your brief supposed one-night stands, there is a commingling of energy. You transfer energy to each other. There is no such thing as just, I'm sorry, a one-night stand. It lasts for a while.
Not for 7 years, though.
Yeah. Not in the sense that most people think.
No.
But I think she was trying to get him to understand that it's not just going to be what you think. And more people need to understand that. It's not just a physical thing. You have to think outside the box. So when you're trying to create that energy with your partner, it shouldn't stop at just your fingertips or your nose or your cock or your pussy. It's that energy that you exude. That's what you should be trying to work with that partner to make it special, to make it more than just a physical act.
Right. So people get like when people start talking like this, I know that clients go like, oh, and they kind of switch off. They think it's all very difficult, all woo and very difficult. But, you know, let's start with things like just breathing in tandem.
Yes. Right?
So it's an easy exercise for you guys to try if you've not done this with a partner before and you want to feel the connection more deeply, because when we're talking about divine or sacred sexuality, we're talking about that deep connection. Now, if you don't have a partner, by the way, you can do this with yourself, right? You don't have to have a partner to be really feeling that connection, because you're connecting to more than yourself. So start by breathing and breathing deep. You know, breathe into a four count, then hold it to a four count, not strained, and then breathe out to a four count. Just start there. And if you're with a partner, start breathing in tandem. Now, sometimes you'll notice when you're really in sync with your partner, you do that anyway.
Yes.
You don't have to try. You don't have to practice. It's there. It's what happens because you're with a partner.
It's the same as when you're walking with a partner. Sooner or later, your walking becomes in sync.
Yeah. Depending.
You know, if they have really long legs, it doesn't work out.
No, truth, it doesn't. Not if you have short legs like mine. But yes, so you start in sync, right? Start breathing in sync. Another one that you can do, which is it's far harder than you might think, is eye gazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now most people find it really difficult to look into someone's eyes. In the West, for most of us, we're raised that looking at somebody's eyes means you either want to fight or fuck. So actually sitting and eye gazing can become definitely uncomfortable, incredibly uncomfortable. That sounds like the dog.
Oh, of course.
Yep. And there we go. And so it is definitely one you're going to have to practice, because initially when you first do eye gazing, where your only job is to look into your partner's eyes, most of the time people start to laugh.
Yes.
That's okay. Laugh and then start doing it again and practice until you can do it for a good long time.
Mm-hmm. There is also the almost touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is it again, it's very simple to do. It's harder than it looks because the instinct for most people is to touch. But you just simply bring your hands as close to the other person's hand as you can without physically touching, and then just stop and just hold it there. Now, you combine it with eye gazing, and it becomes, well, for lack of a better word, it becomes magical. Add to that the breathing, and it definitely becomes something. So these things can be done separately. They can be done together.
You can do eye gazing in the mirror, which I actually advise people to do. And the reason is because most people don't look at themselves very often. And when they do look at themselves, they tend to look at themselves critically.
Yes.
Instead of actually looking at what's there. So it's a good practice to start getting rid of some of that horrible self-talk.
Yes.
To do actually, some of that in the mirror.
Actually knowing what you look like is a good thing.
So these are the sorts of beginning things that you can put together in order to really feel that connection and to become more present with each other, which is what you need to raise that energy. And in fact, in most systems that are teaching divine sexuality, these are the places where we start. It's where we start in Western sex magic. It's where we start in Tantra. It's where we start in unnamed neo-pagan systems. It's always with breath.
Well, that's because connection starts with you.
Yep. So first you need to be connected to your body. You need to be seated well.
First you connect with yourself. You connect with yourself. You connect with the divine, which is actually fairly easy if you let it.
Yeah.
And once you're comfortable with those two concepts, you just broaden it to include other people.
This takes practice.
Yes.
Practice, practice, practice. But practice can be just a little bit a day. It doesn't need to be onerous. It doesn't need to be that big a deal. Just a little bit a day, going over it, and you'll feel the shift. So the other thing I said that we were going to talk about during this bit is to talk about creating that space between the two of you first, before we get into anything to do with BDSM. We talk about creating that space between the two of you. That what you want, if you're going to engage in sacred sex, is a sacred space. Now, it may seem obvious, but oftentimes people have sex where they can be interrupted, where there are phones, where the kids are going to come in at any minute, or they have 20 minutes and they're grabbing a quickie. Nothing wrong with that, but oftentimes when people connect, it's not with a lot of forethought and deliberation and planning, and that's all right. But if you really want to intensify your connection, at least until you get incredibly good at working with energy and being able to connect, because when you're very good at that, you can connect from a distance. You don't need to be in the same room, same house, same state, same country, right? And you can still feel each other. But that takes lots of practice. So in order to get good at this, one of the things that will help increase your connection is to create a sacred space to start out with. It's really easy. Sometimes it's as simple as making sure that the space is pleasing to you. The temperature is acceptable. The lighting is good. If you're in a bedroom, the bed looks good. There's not too much clutter around. Just a pleasing space. And make sure it's an uninterruptible space. And besides doing that physically, i.e. turning off your phones and, you know, making sure nobody's going to interrupt it, you can do that with intention. And so you can make a clear intention that this space is sacred for this time and just for the two of you, the three of you, the four of you, or how many of you are connecting in this way. Try it a couple of times on your own and feel the difference between that and just the bedroom. Again, it's one you can practice. It's a conscious, deliberate act, and that's the important part of this. This is done consciously, deliberately, and with intention. And we are now actually only about a minute from break. In the last segment, we are going to talk about spirituality and BDSM and how to create ritual in BDSM, just a little bit anyway, because we've been asked about that. Actually, we did have a question come in about that. And how to bring that sort of spiritual flavor into BDSM play. And we'll answer any other questions that come up. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective, plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite hosts. It's just a click away at blog.voiceamerica.com. That's blog.voiceamerica.com. The Voice America Press Blog. All access, all the time.
We're with you wherever Alexa and Google are. At home, in the car, on your smart TV, and your connected devices.
Hey, Alexa.
Hey, Google. Play my favorite Voice America podcast on TuneIn.
It's just that easy. But make sure you actually mention the name of the podcast show to make it work.
Functional Medicine with Dr. Robbins looks at how natural healing and biological dentistry can safely and effectively treat most health problems. You'll hear about the innovations in both traditional and alternative medicine therapies with doctors and dentists, along with discussions with chiropractors, medical experts, homeopaths, naturopaths, and energetic healers. It's great to have all the best information in one place. And Functional Medicine with Dr. Robbins brings it all together. Listen Thursdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Health and Wellness. This is the A to Z of Sex, featuring Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. We know you have questions. We welcome you to call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Feeling a bit shy? It's okay. Dr. Lori Beth loves to read your emails too. Send them to Lori Beth at drloribethbisbee.com. Now, more of the A to Z of Sex.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the A to Z of Sex with me, Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. And this week, it's D is for Divine or Sacred Sexuality. And I am joined by my husband, Terrence Scott, who stood in for my lately lost guest. And in this final section, we're going to talk a little bit about introducing the spiritual and ritual into BDSM, because it's a question that I'm often asked about. As you may know, that for some people, ritualistic play of any kind can bring on a divine or ecstatic state. And of course, if you look back at some early Christian cults, you had self-flagellation, for example, which was done in order to bring on an ecstatic state. So it's rhythmic and intensity seems to be two of the keys to increasing one's level of connection there. Would you agree with me on that?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt.
So a lot of people who engage in BDSM play do activities that are both rhythmic and intense, so they raise the energy that way. So, for example, flogging or single tail. You probably get away with it with canes as well. Yeah, or one of your favorites, which is drumming. So just as many people drum in order to enter into an ecstatic state. And again, that's entering into that connection with the divine. People use drums. Drums are made of skin. There's no reason not to use human ones.
Living ones.
Living ones, yes.
You might want to specify for some people because you know how some people are.
Yeah, well, I hope that my audience would not have a problem with that. But yes, So there is a class, in fact, that we've taught together on a number of occasions called Creating a Human Drum Circle. I don't drum, so that tells you where I am in this.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to be the beater and somebody's got to be the beatie.
That's right. So the same way as you would send energy around an ordinary drum circle, you're sending energy around a human drum circle, only it's building from two parts. Because the drums feed back. Well, and one would say actually that even when you're drumming non-human drums, that the drums still feed back. So you're talking, what are you talking? Three parts.
Mm-hmm. There is the sound alone. There's the feedback from the drum. There is the feedback from the drummer.
Mm-hmm. So some basic and simple ways to bring the spiritual and ritual into BDSM play. Step one, create a sacred space. Take care in your materials. Take care in how you set things up. Prepare yourselves. Go have a shower or a bath. What you want is a transition from daily life to this ritual.
Into the time and the place, not just the place, but the time.
Time and the place. And so that transition can be as simple as sitting and having a private meditation or changing clothing. And we do this in daily life all the time. So sometimes people be like, oh, that's woo. I don't do that woo stuff. But actually, we do these things in daily life all the time. Just have to think of them slightly differently. So a shower or a bath is always a nice transition to get ready. Make sure that entry into the space is ritualized. Walk in a certain way. Use certain music. Use the same music over and over again, because that will set the headspace up. That will get the energy flowing.
And go in knowing why you're going in.
That's right. Set the intention, so that you know what you're doing. So when you're doing your negotiation beforehand, discuss what the intention is. What is the plan for this ritual space? It might just be to give glory to the divine. That's fine. It doesn't have to be a special thing. But know what you're doing and set the intention beforehand. Know your roles. Know what you're expected to do or not do within the situation. Have aftercare set up as well, so that's all ritualized.
Yes. If you're going to bring the energy up, you need to be able to also bring it back down to normal.
Yeah. And if there's going to be people watching, you might consider what you say to the people who are going to be watching and lending their energy to the proceedings.
Yes.
If it's important to you that this be a sacred ritual, then you might consider doing this in your own space rather than doing it with lots of people who are not necessarily predictable. If you are experienced, that won't cause you a problem. Their interruption won't change what you're doing. But in the beginning, it can be really disruptive.
Yes. It's like anything else. Once you have gotten into a pattern of behavior, it is harder for outside things to bother you or deflect from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Initially, yeah, you try to make sure that you don't have those things until it becomes a ritual pattern of this is what we do, when we do, how we do, so that it becomes rooted in your mind so that when you know that you're about to do it, you're already kicking into that space.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. And this is all a matter of pattern and practice.
Yes.
So we are only a few minutes from close. Do you have a last comment on divine sexuality?
Don't be afraid of it. Okay. It's just that simple. Don't be afraid of it. It's life.
And I guess that's what I would say is that one doesn't have to practice a particular spiritual discipline in order to have your sexuality be sacred or divine. And in fact, I would say that all sexuality is sacred and divine as long as it's with awareness. And that's really all you need is the awareness.
Yes. All consensual sexuality is divine.
And there it is. Listen out for invites to my exclusive readings and exclusive events, folks. I have a secret separate worldwide gathering happening soon, and these are exclusive parties where I gather a group of exciting people together to talk about topics that are impacting us and the world. If this interests you, please email me at drlauriebethbisbee.com for an application. The first erotic fireside chat is happening on the 4th of September. These special evenings will contain an erotic reading and an activity. They're for singles and couples. Again, these are exclusive events and they're by invite only. If this interests you, let me know. If you enjoy the A to Z of Sex, come find out more over at AtoZofSex.com today. You can sign up for regular updates, exclusive invites to special events, and more A to Z of Sex. Next week, E is for estrogen when I will be talking with Clarissa Christensen. And I'm really looking forward to that. I hope you guys stay safe and have a fantastic week. We've got some fantastic shows coming up, so do consider subscribing so you don't miss any. And thanks again to my husband, Terrence Scott, for stepping in at the last minute and helping me create tonight's show.
Hey, a little sacred space was good.
Yeah, always. Have a good one, and I'll see you next week.